I guess that's a relatively interesting commentary in the song. Can you hear it? Can you hear us running? Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, and to all the freedom-loving Christians and patriots all across this great republic and around the world, I do bid you welcome this evening to another hour of The Flip Side. I'm your host for tonight, the end of a long week, Jeffrey Bennett. As Robbie is still on the coast, he'll be back in the studio here on Wednesday. Oh, yes, he's a busy man, got a lot of things to take care of. Listening to the words, you know, every time I listen to the words to this song, I pick out some new meaning. And tonight, the terminology, can you hear it? Can you hear it running? Well, the question becomes, can you hear us right here at RBN? Theoretically, we are supposed to be on shortwave frequency 5.050. But apparently there has been a number of calls and emails coming to the network about lack of ability to hear. For those of you listening on the Internet and on satellite, well, hopefully that's a different story. We do, however, for this hour only, have a backup frequency you might attempt to tune into, and that's 7.520 over at World Harvest Radio. So take a listen there, give it a try, let us know. In fact, you can send me an email if you're able to. If you're, of course, listening, if you're a shortwave listener, you probably don't have Internet access. But you can always give us a call, leave us a message at 1-800-691-7898. Let us know which shortwave frequency you're picking us up on. For those of you who listen on the Internet, well, drop us an email, Jeff@rbnlive.com. I'd be glad to hear your comments as far as the signal and how it's coming in. Very briefly, before we go to the first break, let's take a look at markets today. Well, it's interesting. I'm over at MSNBC.com. They've dropped off the Russell 2000. They've dropped the transportation and the utilities. Hey, there's a call coming in already. It figures. I can't answer it. Do leave a message, won't you please? Dow Jones Industrial advanced 60-some-odd points, recovering most of yesterday's losses, and to end the week at 11,392. The NASDAQ ended the session up 10.5 points to end at 2165, and the S&P 500 ended up 4 points today. So that's, for those of you who are invested in the big paper markets, of course, it's all a dog and pony show anyway, so don't be concerned about that. As far as the metals are concerned, very interesting day. The whole week ended on a downer, but that, to me, is an upper, and we'll explain a little bit more later in the program. For those of you who have been saying, how come you guys don't offer silver anymore? A little later during this program, we may offer you a little bit of a silver lining for the week. And I'll tell you, today is a good day to take advantage of the silver markets. Gold ended the session today at $6,1155. Silver at $12.17. Platinum ended at $12.28, down about $23 today. Stay with us, won't you? It'll be an interesting program tonight. I'll be back on the flip side of this commercial break.
Yeah. Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Attention, this is an RBN Self-Reliance update. RBN has just learned of a new bioactive superfood for garden plants, flowers, and herbs. It's called ProtoGrow, and it is so effective at producing rapid and natural plant growth that it seems to force plants to grow like crazy under almost any soil and light conditions. Now, here's the best part for our listeners who garden for self-reliance. ProtoGrow's unique blend of C nutrients maximizes mineral uptake, dramatically increases bloom set, and gives any plant a tremendous burst of new growth. In fact, some plants may double in size the very first month. ProtoGrow is also guaranteed to produce more succulent, mouth-watering fruits and vegetables than you can carry back to the house. And if you want to double or triple the potency of herbs or wheatgrass, you can. If you want to grow nutritionalized superfoods with non-hybrids, it's now easy. RBN listeners who want to stay prepared should call right now to order ProtoGrow. Ask about their self-reliant super pack. Call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. Or visit the ProtoGrow website at www.protogrow.com.
Attention, if you're one of the millions of Americans who buy and trade stocks or invest in the real estate market, you'll want to hear this. Did you know that the Forex, foreign currency exchange market, trades over $2 trillion a day? That's more than the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ combined. Now, imagine being able to trade in the Forex without any prior trade experience or spending endless hours predicting market movements. Well, now you can. Introducing Freedom Rocks. Freedom Rocks' structured trading approach takes the guesswork out of what and when to buy by providing you a planned set of guidelines, all at a fraction of the cost of other similar type programs. And instead of focusing on thousands of stocks, Freedom Rocks focuses on the top four currency pairs. Our software tells you what to buy, how much to buy, and when to buy. Go to MySimpleForex.com. That's MySimple, the number four, the letter X.com. And join the thousands who've discovered Freedom Rocks. Remember, MySimple, the number four, the letter X.com.
Of course, you know, if you're nervous about trading in the stocks and the commodities markets, etc., there's another way to do it. You call 1-800-691-7898. You take possession of your own private commodities and let it go at that. Let us move forward. We all know what Monday is, and unfortunately, the majority of broadcasters on mainstream and on the alternative media are going to be concentrating on this entire issue all weekend, all next week. And I guess one of the big hubbubs that's hit the news wires this week is the Clinton crowd, who's all upset about this ABC television two-night miniseries that's somewhat raises the question and points the fingers as to ultimately who may have been responsible for 9-1-1. Now, not in the way that many of us think, but from a presidential administration standpoint. Investors Business Daily today posted a very interesting commentary entitled Clinton and 9-1-1. The ABC miniseries finally pays as much attention to Bill Clinton's 8 years before 9-1-1 as the Democrats have to Bush's 8 months. Critics who blame Bush for missing Osama bin Laden are, frankly, missing the point, the article says. Now, it's understandable the Clintonistas and Presidente Clinton are upset about the two-part ABC miniseries, The Path to 9-1-1, to be broadcast this Sunday and conclude on the fifth anniversary of the attack on America on Monday. based on the 911 Commission report and ABC News correspondent John Miller's book, The Cell. The film strips away the conventional wisdom that somehow the fledgling Bush White House was responsible for 911 through neglect or indifference. The film strips bare the Democratic talking points, exposing them for the fraud they are, accurately depicting the chances that the Clinton White House missed to kill or capture bin Laden and the barriers they put up to connecting all the information. Well, one has to remember that all of this is based upon the supposition that bin Laden may or may not have had something to do with 911. The film starts with the first attack on the World Trade Center in 1993, which the Clinton administration chose to treat as a law enforcement matter and not the first shot in al-Qaeda's war against America. That, the film shows, is where the path really began. No, you got to go with your mama, sweet pea. It starts with one objection to the miniseries came from former Clinton National Security Advisor Sandy Berger. If you remember, last seen stuffing classified documents from the National Archives down his pants. He calls the scenes involving his character in an aborted effort to capture bin Laden before the 1998 bombings of our embassies in Kenya and Tanzania complete fabrications. The film portrays an incident in which Berger, in essence, told a CIA and Northern Alliance team in Afghanistan, literally just feet away from bin Laden, that if they wanted to grab him, they'd have to do it on their own without official authorization or backing. And, of course, they didn't grab him. One of three botched chances to get bin Laden, according to the Investor Business Daily's tale. As Clinton guru Dick Morris relates, the first missed chance to capture or kill bin Laden came in February 98 when, quote, Clinton's aides scuttled a CIA plot that had been 8 months in the planning to kidnap Osama, end quote. The plan would have used Afghan tribesmen to capture the al-Qaeda leader for a later trial in the U.S. Well, believe it or don't, Clinton's aides worried that bin Laden might be killed in the process, making it look like a political assassination. According to the 911 Commission report, they were worried of, quote, recriminations, end quote, in the event that bin Laden, despite our best intentions and efforts, did not survive. The second chance came on August 20th, 1998, in the famous Wag the Dog attack at the height of the L'Affaire Lewinsky, when cruise missiles were actually fired at a bin Laden encampment in Afghanistan. The problem was that Clinton ordered that the Pakistanis be told of the attack, lest they think it was an attack from India. The news was leaked, and bin Laden dodged the bullets once again. The final missed chance came in May of 99 when the CIA reported that bin Laden would be in Kandahar, Afghanistan. As the 911 Commission report said, quote, if this intelligence was not actionable, working-level officials said at the time and today, it was hard for them to imagine how any intelligence could meet that standard, end quote. You see, my friends, if we believe the bin Laden story from beginning to end, it was the Clinton administration that could have put Osama bin Laden out of commission. It was under Clinton that Americans were killed by terrorists on three continents without a meaningful response. Don't you remember Clinton's wagging finger? No, not the one where he said, I did not have sex with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. No, I'm not talking about wagging that finger on that particular occasion. It was when he stood up before the world and wagged his finger and made the statement that these terrorists will be tracked down to the ends of the earth and will bring them to full justice. It was never done. It was never done. It was under Bill Clinton that we left Somalia in disgrace after dead Americans were dragged through the streets, giving bin Laden all the proof of our lack of will he needed. And it was Clinton's Deputy Attorney General, Jamie Gorelick, who created the wall of separation between the FBI and CIA that kept us from connecting the dots, connecting the information, and maybe preventing 911. What's the word that describes all of this, my friends? Ah, yes, it is incompetence. And yet, you know, the interesting thing is, I received a comment left on the Federal Observer today, saying from a gentleman who said he did not care for Clinton, but come on, let's face it. Bill Clinton, 8 months, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And the whole thing was nonsense. I'm not even going to get into it with you. My argument with this whole thing, as I stated to the gentleman, is that, look, the Bush cabal came into office with one goal in mind. And that was for Junior to go finish what he perceived as Daddy's unfinished business. The winds of war were being planned before Bush ever took office, ladies and gentlemen. Think about that one before you go to bed tonight. Or think about that one before the revelry of the 9-1-1 five-year anniversary nonsense. Sorry, but I had to say that. George Washington once said, "The preservation of the sacred fire of liberty and the destiny of the Republican model of government are justly considered deeply, perhaps as finally, staked on the experiment entrusted to the hands of the American people." George Washington didn't talk about entrusting it to elected officials. He talked about entrusting the experiment, this experiment we call America, into the hands of the American people. Did he mean cast a vote and go to sleep? I don't quite think so. And so, having said that, I must ask you a question. When will Americans take America back? When will the American homeland suffer the next big spectacular Islamo-fascist terrorist attack? Now, we're going to hear that phrase, Islamo-fascist, a lot over the next 2 months leading up to Election Day. Another terrorist assault on our homeland may be inevitable. We know this is true because we have been told so by President George Bush and Vice President Richard Cheney. And they ought to know. You see, their foreign policy has enraged the entire Middle East, thus turning against America as many as 1.8 billion Muslims. Much of the world considers the United States of America the biggest threat to world security. They would feel a whole lot safer, and Xanax sales would plummet if the entire population of the U.S. of A. were sent to colonize Pluto, the planet that was recently downgraded from a planet. What can we do as Americans to possibly prevent a second 9-1-1? Well, some will tell us that America should withdraw its forces from Afghanistan and Iraq, and that U.S. foreign policy should be separated from that of the State of Israel. And I would be one of those people to suggest that, ladies and gentlemen. But you see, the Bush administration has other plans. Americans will be asked to endorse perpetual war and to hand over total power to the president. If we don't, the terrorists will attack for sure. If is not even a part of the equation, so we are led to believe. You see, Bush cannot milk fear of another attack forever, or can he? If the Islamo-fascists don't come to Bush's rescue, he may have to light the fuse himself. And that seems to be his intent. Well, I'm sorry, folks, but a bunch of British Muslims with hydrogen peroxide and a few iPods doesn't quite cut it. Most of us have both of these items tucked away in our homes. Does that make us dangerous? In the eyes of the Bush administration, someday, all too soon, it most assuredly will. I may bear the idea that America is on the brink of annihilation because the policies of Karl Rove's blue-eyed boy have brought us to the edge of World War III, or is it four? But no one can sell me the notion that a dictatorship and perpetual war will prevent the Armageddon. Indeed, that can only guarantee it. Are we to invade, as a nation, are we to invade every country that does not toe the White House line? Surely threatening other countries with invasion would swell the ranks of those who want Yankee to go home. Are we to incarcerate and torture everyone who harbors ill will towards the United States? That would make Stalin's gulag seem like Wayne, New Jersey City Jail. Sorry about that, Edward. You know we had this conversation about New Jersey last night. The Islamo-fascists got exactly what they wanted. A Sunni-Shiite civil war with the United States stuck right smack dab in the middle of it. Mayhem fueled by murderous tribes and by billions of borrowed greenbacks. Or were they counterfeit? Oh, same difference. Eventually, you see, we as a nation will go bankrupt and have to vacate the Middle East with our tails between our legs. Isn't that why we were told the Soviet Union finally collapsed? Because they went bankrupt because of their ongoing extensions of themselves in other parts of the world? And yet, is that not exactly what we as a nation are doing? Well, that's all. Well, this is Osama's idea, if Osama still lives. The Islamofascists really don't need to waste time on another 911. Let me interject that comment that I just made about if Osama still lives. For those of you who are on the Internet, and I don't mean to exclude those of you who listen on shortwave, but the expense of doing a mail-out is insanity, and you'd have to call me, and that costs money, etc. For those of you on the Internet, I want you to write this down. I want you to send me an email tonight. Address it to Jeff, J-E-F-F, at rbnlive.com. I want you to mark in the subject line, the death of Osama. That's right, the death of Osama. And I want you to send it to me. I'm going to send you one of the most powerful arguments regarding the death of Osama bin Laden, who, it was reported, in December of 2001 had died of kidney failure. Not a single column, not a single article, but a composite or a series of numerous articles. If Osama bin Laden, in effect, died in December of 2001, then what's all this constant nonsense about this war on terrorism? We've got to get bin Laden. I want you to read it for yourself and draw your own conclusions. That's Jeff at rbnlive.com. Mark the subject line, Osama is dead. And I will send this out to you. Back to our column and our questions. When is our spineless Congress going to hand over total power to our current commander-in-chief? Or, in fact, have they already done so? When is an American version of Hitler's Enabling Act going to be passed? Or has Bush just decided that it already has? I mean, he's already had his Reichstag fire. When will elections once again have any meaning in America? They won't as long as electronic voting machines lacking a paper trail are used. When will the Bush administration actually turn over the reins of power to the next president? 2008? Doubtful. You see, I don't see them abandoning their agenda of empire that easily. The Constitution, they've already proven, is meaningless to them. Besides, once out of office, they may be, in fact, wanted men. Or they may be wanted men beforehand. When will our constitutional system of checks and balances ever be restored? Never, as long as George W. Bush and the neocons rule. When will the United States of America become a republic again, where the rule of law applies to all citizens? Never, unless Caesar is stripped of his laurels. When will Americans of differing political stripes cease to hate and begin to debate? When will persuasion be preferred to coercion? Never, as long as George W. Bush and the neocons rule. And when will the draft be reinstated? As soon as George W. Bush runs out of voluntary cannon fodder. When will the Great Wall of America, designed to keep out illegal aliens, be completed? As soon as possible, before the draft is reinstated. Because George W. Bush and the neocons will need the wall to keep us in. And so then, when will America abide by the Geneva Convention and cease to torture? Never, as long as George W. Bush and the neocons rule. When will secret wiretaps of American citizens come to an end? Never, as long as George W. Bush and the neocons rule. And when will Iran stop uranium enrichment? Never. Or like it or not, it's their right under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. And when will Israel sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty? I answer to you, never. Give that some serious consideration, my friends. And when will George W. Bush drop the bomb? As soon as he can decide which country gets it first. Iran, Syria, North Korea, and as soon as he can convince Israel to do it for him. When will the war on terror end, my friends? The answer is the same. Never, as long as George W. Bush and the neocons rule. When will America be an admired and respected nation once again? I say, once we return to the constitutional republic But until we do so, the answer to that question still remains never as long as George W. Bush and the neocons rule. When will Americans be safe again? Never as long as George W. Bush and the neocons rule. When will the lives of American citizens no longer belong to the owners of the government? Never. As long as American citizens allow George W. Bush and the neocons to own them. And when will George W. Bush stop lying? The answer, my friends, is never. When will Americans take back America? Written by Tom Chartier. And once again, to go back to George Washington's comment, the preservation of the sacred fire of liberty and the destiny of the Republican model of government are justly considered deeply, perhaps as finally, staked on the experiment entrusted to the hands of the American people. Well, I say at this point, the grand experiment is failing. Something to consider. Ed Henry says we have but 19 days to do something meaningful in this country. He says, after almost 2 years of working against us, 22 months of listening to lobbyists, supporting big business, permitting mega mergers, running up debt and eating away at the Constitution, our congressmen are scurrying madly to find some issue or issues that they can promote to show how they really have the public's interest at heart. And frankly, hopefully get reelected. Returning to work just days ago, left just 19 or days or so for the good old boys to pass something meaningful before they take another vacation where they'll spend the rest of their time campaigning and bragging about all the wonderful things they've done for the people. And that's what we get this time. Days, about 16 of them. For our senators and representatives to finally think about the American people and come up with something we can all applaud. And that ain't a heck of a lot of time, ladies and gentlemen. As William Rivers Pitt of Truthout puts it succinctly and more politely, Labor Day weekend was traditionally considered the starting gun for congressional midterm races. The work to gain or hold seats has been going on for months, of course, but Labor Day was when everyone was supposed to start paying attention. There's only but days left. What, about 58, 59 days remain until the votes are cast now? But you see, on the other hand, back in 1983, it took only 1 month to pass a bill and have the president sign a law raising payroll taxes far beyond anything necessary at that time, or even in terms of today's needs. We're still living with that one. How many years since 1983? And it certainly doesn't take long to vote themselves pay raises, nor did it take much time for them to enact the Patriot Act without reading it. But this, you see, is different. Today's problems are so immense and complex that they cannot be solved overnight, ladies and gentlemen. After all, it's not like the ease of signing over their constitutional obligation to be the only governmental body capable of declaring war. So why is it that we can pass the Patriot Act so rapidly without ever reading it? Why is it that in 1913 they could pass the Federal Reserve Act so rapidly and they could never read it? And why is it today that we cannot give the average American a decent, livable wage? Give? I don't think the government should have a darn thing to do with it. That goes to show you that every time government gets involved, they blow it. They increase the cost of doing business. Congressmen won't allow the wage increase to go through unless they think it'll get them reelected because, oh, that's right, they pander to business. And businessman, the American businessman, says, if you force us to pay a higher wage, that's more Social Security, that's more unemployment insurance we have to pay, we're going to have to cut some workers out. Henceforth, what's the point? And the elected officials will go right along with the game. Stay with us, won't you, when we come back from the flip side of this commercial break, a few other comments regarding this issue. We're going to have some discussion about something called the new economy. And by the way, tonight we have a silver lining. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Yo! Holy moly!
If I lived and breathed before you loved me, I don't recall. If I walked around at all, it was in bits and pieces of a jagged heart. You kissed me and every beat went back in place, every pain got erased. You helped me up to the...
Welcome back, my friends, for the final half an hour of the flip side for this week of August the 4th in the year of our Lord 2006. Begun to receive some emails once again. I've got a very, very interesting series of articles with photographic evidence, I may add, regarding the death of Osama bin Laden in December of 2001, and yet we continue to hear reports that we're still searching for Osama, and it begins to make you wonder if all this has been a hoax to perpetuate the lies and the deceit. Received requests from Ann, Gary, Dan, Skip, Shannon, Elizabeth, not Shannon Elizabeth, that's someone different, and somebody named SBC, and you know, we're still early on. So if you're interested, for those of you who have internet access, you really want to read this. It is a phenomenal amount of evidence and research that truly raises questions about what in the world we're doing out there. Send that email to Jeff, J-E-F-F, at rbnlive.com. And later when I get off the air and get some time to settle in, we'll get it sent out to you. Before the break, we were sharing some comments about the fact that we've got some 15 or 16 days to get something absolutely useful or to get something useful and meaningful done in this country based upon what our elected officials' phony promises are. Much of what I'm sharing with you is based on a column from a couple of days ago written by Ed Henry over at EtherZone. And Ed is a very interesting writer that I like. And I don't take everything off EtherZone the way I used to, but I still have favorite authors that I go over there. He's talking about what, in his mind, are the three biggest problems. I don't think he takes it far enough, but three of the biggest problems that need to be addressed in this nation by our elected idiots. First of all, immigration. He said what should have been of concern 5 years ago, immediately following 9-1-1, has just recently come to the forefront, and our leaders and bleeders are not going to do a thing about it until after the elections. If then, after years of permissiveness, Henry goes on, after decades of not enforcing existing immigration laws, Congress has split over something called new laws to stem the flow of illegal aliens crossing our borders daily and keeping track of legal immigrants who often overstay their visas and become part of the underground of lawbreakers. Don't let the politicians fool you by pretending to try. They dropped the ball a long time ago and are now caught on the horns of a dilemma of their own making. So in 50-some-odd more days, boot them out of office and let's give some other turkey a try. Secondly, Henry says, the ongoing invasion and occupation of Iraq. While the majority of Americans are fed up with the war in Iraq, many because we haven't had a decisive victory, politicians are seeking shelter in the demands for a timeline to bring our boys home. They will brag about this in the coming days. Meanwhile, we're building dozens of air bases and other military installations, including the world's largest embassy edifice in that hapless nation, which will be permanently manned by American troops. Don't kid yourself. Don't let them fool you on this obvious contradiction either, Henry says. Unlike Vietnam, we are not going to leave this quagmire without a military force of so-called advisors to support one faction of the new government or another, and it all adds to our empire's more than 725 military bases in other foreign countries. Syria and Iran are probably next. And finally, Henry touches on something that is near and dear to my heart, the economy. If you believe the propaganda, he says, about our booming economy, then you belong with the illegal aliens who don't realize they've jumped from the frying pan to the fire. With outsourcing, a dwindling manufacturing base, and everything but weapons of mass destruction, cutbacks in pensions and health care benefits, the disappearance of the American dream, and war on the middle class, wages that don't keep pace with inflation, a negative balance of trade approaching $1 trillion a year, bankruptcies, and last-ditch attempts to reform some of our major manufacturers like the auto and airlines industries, who are about to join the defunct railroad and steel industries, more people employed in various forms of government across the country than in building anything marketable, and false figures about the job situation. Come on, the list just goes on and on and on. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not a pretty picture, especially with the national debt rising more than $600 billion this year while the same government continues to borrow our Social Security supplemental retirement money. Supplemental, that's what it is. But they've still stolen it. And we can't count on a bunch of lawyers to get us out of this mess. And that's what they are. They are lawyers, or excuse me, liars. You see, about the only gift we can hope for in these final days before the midterm elections is a possible raise in the federal minimum wage that hasn't been raised since actually 1996. And it should be tied to some sort of automatic increase in the cost of living. I mean, they certainly get it. all government employees get it. Maybe that's why everybody's so desperate to work for the government. At least they can maintain a reasonable cost of living increase. But even that's more likely to be in the form of promises rather than actual legislative action. Goes headlong against the interests of big business Bush supporters, doesn't it? Now, I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings to you folks, because you seem to listen to this network and listen to a lot of us bearers of bad tidings each and every day. But you see, many of the solutions are oh so simple. You know, for instance, we could get rid of almost half the national debt by simply erasing non-marketable bonds that serve no purpose to anyone but the federal government that uses them to tax and double tax us. And that's the name of that tune. My intent was to get into a rather long dissertation of, not that long, it's a piece that was written in 2003, entitled The New Economy. Suffice it to say, time is not really going to allow me to get into it and take care of some of the other business and comments we have to do here tonight. But I'll share a couple of paragraphs with you, because it's something to think about, and I think it's something that an awful lot of us here in America are being forced into. As the economy tanks and unemployment jumps, the something known as the underground economy option is looking pretty darn good to a lot of Americans. Think about that. Looking awful good to an awful lot of Americans. Forget the get-rich, quick, work-and-home ads that you see on late-night television offering $300 to $1,000 a week in so-called supplemental income. There's an entire realm of underground economy activities alive and well, keeping many individuals and families above water by dealing in cash payments or services under the table and off the books. And don't tell me that a lot of you out there listening tonight aren't participating in that underground economy. I do every possible chance I can get. And hey, Mr. Fed listening tonight, don't really care what you think about it. It's my right to barter, to trade, to deal with things of that nature. Now, this underground economy is sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, known as a shadow economy. Sometimes it's known as an informal economy, but it's a segment that many are consigned to at a time where trolling for a decent paying job has become, well, pretty darn arduous. Some years ago, an organization called the International Labor Organization held a conference in June of 2002, a little over 4 years ago. The conference was entitled Decent Work and the Informal Economy. From their report, it says there are, of course, criminal activities in the informal economy, such as drug trafficking, people smuggling, and money laundering. But the majority in the informal economy, although they are not registered or regulated, produce goods and services that are legal. The underground economy, the article continues, goes beyond the homeless collecting aluminum cans or clogging day labor halls. It includes the working poor getting cash for all forms of recycling, giving plasma, selling homemade tamales outside of shopping plazas, holding yard sales, doing under-the-table work for friends and family, selling stuff at pawn shops, and yes, even garage sales. Books, used clothing stores, even getting tips from restaurants and bars, just to name a few. The easiest money for healthy individuals who don't want the hassle of the day labor halls, believe it or not, is giving blood. Margaret Kolar, front office supervisor at Aventis Biosciences Incorporated, an international plasma collection company, says, "We have every range. We've got computer programmers coming in, engineers, college students, moms, dads. Honeybee Recycling is a metal collection yard open in the state of Arizona 7 days a week that caters to mostly individuals." Honeybee owner Diane Harris says that in her 21 years, has seen every walk of life imaginable coming in, bringing in those empty soda and beer cans, from those living on the street to one customer who drives a Rolls Royce. She says they come in on a Wednesday or Thursday. One of the most common comments you'll hear is, "This will get me gas money until payday," or "diapers for the baby," or "milk." See, the underground economy isn't always about cash. There's also a minor movement toward barter for services and trading in old stuff for newer stuff. In stretching the dollar, they're much more inclined to make use of resale products, used cars, used homes, furniture, clothing. Those words from Diane Cram, CEO of the used clothing chain Twice as Nice, which I'll tell you is one heck of a place to go shopping at, but I think it's only located here in Arizona. She said, yeah, there's been a steady increase in that kind of activity. It's amazing. In Tucson, there's five of the stores. They see 50 people a day in their store selling or trading, while another 130 people a day come just to buy. All of these examples result in quick, unreported cash or services to those on the ragged edge. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that America is on the ragged edge. Rich or poor alike, those who are just trying to get by, those who are trying to put a gallon of milk on the table, to feed the baby, to get diapers, to be able to buy enough gasoline to get to the day labor job centers, praying to God they can get a job for the day that maybe will pay cash. I mean, can you honestly blame the illegals that are sitting out in the parking lot in Home Depot trying to get enough cash to get through the day? I'm not trying to support the illegals here, but why are they any different than Mr. and Mrs. America? It's quite amazing. Absolutely quite amazing. People are just trying to survive. The minimum wage that is paid in this country has got more people living in poverty. And people trying to work two jobs. And a husband and a wife each working two jobs. Who's raising the children? MTV is raising the kids. The neighbor is raising the kids. The drug dealer on the street is raising the kids. Because mom can't stay home to take care of the kids. Because they're trying to put food on the table. What's wrong with this picture? What is wrong with the America we live in today? When we allow illegal aliens to come into this country to, quote, do the jobs that Americans won't do, I don't buy that brand of BS to save my soul. The illegals are coming into this country to take the jobs that Americans will do, but they'll do it cheaper, and there is no American pride by the business owner in this country today. We're supposed to feel sorry because the farmers in this country, and believe it, less than 2% of the farms in existence today that were in existence in 1920s and 1930s. And these guys are crying, how are we going to get our crops picked? Because the illegals are afraid to come do it. They're afraid they're going to get rounded up. Well, son of a gun, why don't you just up the ante and offer a slightly higher wage and hire some Americans that have got families to feed? Because, frankly, it's the Americans that are buying your product. It's a very symbiotic relationship. You pay us to work for you, and we'll be able to afford to buy the food that you're selling at the market. Economics, ladies and gentlemen. Economics. I don't have time for this tonight, but I received a column from one of my suppliers, my gold and silver suppliers, who also happens to be an alternative health guru. And after having dealt with the man for many, many years, and he began to realize that I'd been involved with alternative cancer treatments and cures for a number of years, sent me a marvelous gift one Christmas. Robert and Susan send me a marvelous gift every Christmas. This was a huge book. And I sold it through the Federal Observer for some time, and I've not purchased any more of them because it's a pretty hefty financial commitment. But every time I get them, I'd sell out in no time at all. This last Christmas, he and his wife sent my wife and I a marvelous bottle of some very expensive wine. Kind of interesting, because Robert and his wife happen to be Jews. He just sent me an article a while ago talking about silver. Silver being a very powerful defense against viruses and other microbes. And we'll not have time to get into this tonight. I don't even know how long this article is. It's very, very in-depth. And it may not be all that long. It's the kind of thing that maybe we could do an entire show out of it. It looks like we probably could. 6 pages. I can get that into a program maybe next week. In a heartbeat. Talks about the health benefits of silver. How silver throughout history has combated viruses and things of that nature. Well, that kind of goes to show you, amongst others, some of the uses of silver. We've certainly talked about the use of silver industrial for many, many years. You know, all the gold in the world that's ever been mined is basically still in existence. It can't melt, it can't evaporate, it can't disappear, it can't corrode, it can't just wear out. I was in Las Vegas last weekend. I was up there on some business. And I took a tour of the Titanic display at the Tropicana Hotel. I'm going to tell you something. I've been a student of the whole Titanic fiasco for 50 years, for half a century. And for me to stand in this room, ladies and gentlemen, and be able to look at artifacts that had actually come up off the ocean floor, that had gone down in 1912 with the Titanic, was so amazing to me. And in one of the display cases, there was a whole bunch of gold coins. And they were just as shiny and beautiful as could be. And I began to look at them and realized there were British sovereigns and half sovereigns. And there were some Middle Eastern gold pieces. There were French roosters. There were a few Russian pieces in there. Every single coin in this pile I recognized. And some people said, oh, those must have come somewhere else. They're too shiny. And we got into an interesting discussion. I looked at gold pieces, a gorgeous gold watch that had come up off the ocean floor. It was in unbelievably pristine condition. But you see, that's the power of gold. It cannot corrode. It cannot just evaporate. Silver is a different situation. Silver, in effect, can corrode. Silver can tarnish. Silver can begin to disappear. It's been used industrial for years. Industrial reasons. So much of what we've talked about in this program, this underground economy, this ability to barter, to trade, that is happening more and more every single day. And yet people who buy gold and silver say, if I need it, how am I going to use it? Come on! An underground economy already exists in this country. You have to learn to think. Don't think about what America knows today. Think about what America is going to wake up and realize just a few short months or years down the road. It's going to be very commonplace for people to be bartering and trading. Come on, have you ever had a garage sale, ladies and gentlemen? Have you ever gone to a garage sale? Have you ever spent money at a garage sale, a flea market, a swap meet? We've got a huge neighborhood garage sale this weekend. Probably 350 homes will be participating in the quarterly. Do you think that money gets reported to the IRS? It's still a form of an underground economy. I did something unusual this morning because we've not talked to you about silver at the Republic Trading Group for quite a number of months. I just realized it. And I made a purchase this morning. And I made a purchase to benefit you. I told you early on in the program what silver had dropped to today. I don't have it open. It'll take a moment for me to pop it open here. But the fact of the matter is it had been an up week last week. It had been an up week earlier in the week. And all of a sudden, the last couple of days, silver and gold pulled down. And I don't have time tonight, of course, but I was doing some interesting reading explaining what's going on in the markets. This is the final correction, they're saying, before it begins to move up. Silver right now stands at $12.17 an ounce. That spot, that's picking up the phone, that's calling your Wall Street broker on Monday morning saying, hey, Jim Bob, I need a contract for 1,000 ounces of silver. He's going to sell it to you at $12.17. But when you're buying an actual product you're going to take physical delivery of, you call Republic Trading Group at 1-800-691-7898. Remember that, 1-800-691-7898. And tonight, I've got a decent selection. It's you know, when they're gone at that price. What I can make available to you is 100 ounces of these exquisite, beautiful, newly minted 1 ounce silver rounds. These are not the American Eagles. If you want American Eagles, it'll probably cost you a dollar or so more per ounce. Why? Silver. That's what you want. The most perfect barter and trade metal there is. Gold's great, but gold's your savings account. You put it away. That's for getting a new engine, a new transmission, getting a new roof on your house. But for your day-to-day needs in the so-called underground economy, that's where you want to take advantage of the silver. The beautiful rounds have got an eagle depicted on one side, the exact same eagle that was minted on our Seated Liberty coins back in the 1800s. The other side's got the Liberty Bell. Each side of the round, and I've got some of them right here at my desk, each side is marked very clearly. 1 troy ounce, 999 pure silver. The other side says 1 troy ounce, 999 fine silver. Same thing. It's a full ounce. You drop it on the desk. You drop it on a counter. Take a nice big nick out of my desk. It's okay. That's why it's here. You call us tonight. Take advantage of this. I cannot sell less than 100 ounces. Our shipper will not ship 20, 30, 40 coins. Can't answer the phone till I get off the air either. $1,362 for the 100 pieces. You've got a few dollars in shipping and handling there as well. Take advantage of this. It's been so long since we've had a good silver offering. When I saw silver drop today, I pick up the phone, I called my supplier and said, I want to lock in a few thousand ounces of this stuff. When it's gone at this price, it's gone, ladies and gentlemen. As soon as I get off the air here in about 3-4 minutes, I'll be glad to return calls, take your call. I know it's Friday night. I know you want to run out to Mickey D's or the pizza joint, or maybe you're going bowling. It's okay. Maybe you got a hot date with your new lady love. Doesn't matter. If you want some silver, hey, it's a great way to support RBN, great way to help take care of and shore up the future of you and your own family. 1-800-691-7898 will get you 100. These are new. These are in tubes. They're not used up. They're not worn out. They're not dirty. They're perfect. And isn't that the point? If you got to walk in and do some underground trading, nobody's going to pay you more money because you've got a silver eagle. They're going to pay you because it's an ounce of silver. So get it. It's new. Beautiful reeded edge. Gorgeous design. Anybody who gets these says, wow, I never knew these things would look this good. So take advantage of it tonight. Don't wait until Monday. 1-800-691-7898. $1,362 plus the shipping and handling. And depending on whether you buy 100 ounces or 200, whatever the case may be, I'll work out the shipping with you. And, you know, we'll do what we have to do. Coming up next week, I don't know. We all know that Monday's the 5th anniversary. I am not planning on concentrating on 911-related issues Monday night. Everyone else on the network will be doing it. Rick Adams is certainly going to be doing more and more commitments to it here. Rick will be up with us here in about another hour. Stay tuned for the Divided Kingdom. Elizabeth will be up in just a few moments. I don't know what else to say. Watch the news. Watch your backside. Spend some time with your loved ones and your family this weekend because, well, frankly, you never know when the next terrorist attack might come. That's a cheap shot. I hate that kind of commentary. But you get down to the last minute or so and you start bumbling. I did not get to do the story tonight about the 9 fine Irishmen. I will save that for next week. It is a marvelous story about revolution in Europe in the 1840s and what happened to 9 really superb people, their involvement with the revolution, how they continue to combat, attempting to help set Ireland free so the people could take their government back over. I think you're going to find it a unique story that I think has got some tremendous correlations to what we face in this nation today. Where are the 9 fine gentlemen in this country today and or ladies that are going to stand up to help us get the job done? Hey, the music says it's time for me to get on out of here. Pick up that phone in about 3 minutes. Do give me a call. On behalf of Robbie Noel, myself, Republic Broadcasting Network, thanks. I hope you have a great weekend. Without apology, I'm out of here, and I am Jeffrey Bennett.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.